Well, hello, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Bill Crockett, and I am the Bible teacher for our Thursday night Bible study that we have that's a part of Bill Crockett Ministries and the Fellowship of Young Christian Professionals. And we've been having a Bible study with young adults for, oh, a year or two now, and we've decided to take our Bible study virtual. We have several people that wanted to join, but they don't live around here. So it makes it difficult for them to actually come to the house for the Bible study. So we decided that we would take it virtual. And as I'm recording this, it is Thursday morning, April the 20th. And tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have our first live Zoom Bible study. I hope you can join us. But we actually started this series that we're calling What Happens When We Die last week. So what I wanted to do was go ahead and record last week's lesson so that we can put it into our website so that everyone will be able to see all the lessons in the series. And we will be recording all of our Bible studies in case you can't make it. And that way you can catch up, you can share it with your friends, whatever you want to do. So let's go ahead and get started and let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to have the Bible and to be able to study it in such a way that it gives us guidance and direction and answers to all the questions we have in life. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word now, that you will speak to us, that you will give us understanding, that you will provide for us the information that we need to help us live our lives in such a way that we please you and experience the joy and the abundance of life that you intended for us to. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are in a series called What Happens When We Die. In our group, we've had several of our friends and family members and loved ones who have passed away recently. And so the question came up, what does happen to us when we die? So we decided we'd look into the Bible and see what exactly does the Bible tell us about that moment when we die. So last week, and the lesson for today in this recording is a lesson that I've entitled Three People Who Died and What the Bible Says About It. There were actually three people that we're going to look at that God in his word describes for us their death. They actually died, and he gives us a few details about what happened when they died. So I wanted us to look at those examples, and it's in two different places in the Bible. The first one has to do with the Apostle Paul, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's look at that one first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And I use the New Living Translation. You can use whatever version you'd like, but I actually have printed out the verses and they're here on the screen. I hope you can see them. So if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along. But I would encourage you to get a Bible and follow along and maybe write down some questions because at the end of our lesson, we'll have a Q&A time. But let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul is writing this and he says, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord." Now, Paul is basically establishing his credibility with the people at Corinth as he writes this letter. Verse number 2, he says, "I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses." Now, in these verses, the Bible tells us that Paul, of his own record, says that he was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Most Bible teachers believe that this is referring to a moment in time where Paul was stoned and beaten and left outside the city for dead. And evidently, he actually died, and God resuscitated him and gave him life again. But while he was actually dead, he actually went to heaven. The Bible says he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, that's just simply a term that refers to the abode of God, where God lives. We would think of it like this. We have the first heaven, which is the atmosphere around the earth, where airplanes fly and the birds and all that. Then you would have the second heaven, which would be the universe, the planets and the galaxies beyond earth. And then, of course, Paul's reference to the third heaven, which would be that place where God lives, which is far above all of the other two. Now, he also says this, and I've got a couple of questions down here that we wanted to answer. Number one, when we die, do we have a body? And number two, what is heaven like? So in these verses, in Paul's account, I believe he gives us a little bit of an insight into those two questions. First of all, when we die, do we have a body? Well, Paul says here, when he died, he says, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. Now, the Bible talks about the resurrection, and in a few weeks, we're actually going to talk about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, wherein God will raise these bodies of ours. He will glorify them and perfect them and reunite our soul and spirit with those bodies, and that's how we will live for the balance of eternity. But that takes place when Jesus comes back. Well, what are we like if we die before Jesus comes back, like Paul did? Well, between the time we die and the time Jesus comes back, we are with God. We are in heaven, and we'll see that in a couple of weeks. However, do we have a body? Well, Paul says, I don't know. He said, I was there, but I don't know if I had a body or not, but God knows. And you know what? When I read this and I think about that, one of the things that comes to my mind is how we associate everything we do spiritually with our human point of reference. And in a minute, you're going to see something that kind of explains that. We think, how in the world can we exist without a recognizable body? Is there a way to do that? Well, from our human point of reference, we don't understand how that could be possible. However, heaven is not just a better place than earth. Heaven is a different place. Everything there is different than what we know here. So the reality here is, do we have a body? The answer is, I don't know. Paul didn't know, neither do I, but God knows. And God evidently has chosen not to tell us. So we'll just have to wait till we die to find out. However, the second question, I think, will put your mind at ease, and that is, what is heaven like? Well, I believe Paul talked about that. Look at the last part right here of verse number 3. He says, I don't know if I was in a body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Paul says this, he was caught up to the third heaven, and in verse 4, he calls the third heaven paradise, a wonderful place. And he said, I heard things so astounding that they can't be expressed in human words. Now, that word astounding, and I put it down here for you, it's the Greek word that means unspeakable. And it gives the idea that the things that Paul heard were so sacred and so far beyond what the human mind can comprehend or know about that there were no words to express it, and humans aren't even allowed to talk about those things on earth. But in heaven, we will be allowed to, and we will see them and we will hear them. That tells us that heaven, while we don't know every detail about what it's like, it is so amazing. Paul's used the word astounding. It is so amazing that there are no human words to describe it. So here's what I take from this account of Paul, his dying experience and coming back. One, will we have a body? I don't know, but evidently it doesn't matter because God knows. And if God wanted us to know, he would have told us, but he didn't. Number two, it must not affect the glory and the wonder of heaven when we get there, because Paul says, this place, I heard things so astounding that there's no human words to describe it. It is a place like we have never experienced before, and that's a good thing. I mean, it is so wonderful that there's no way for the human mind to even comprehend it. So that's Paul's account. Now let's move on to the second passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And here we find the account of two people that died, and Jesus is telling this story. One man named Lazarus, a beggar, and a rich man. We don't know his actual name, but Jesus calls him the rich man. So let's read this story. Luke 16, verse 19. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died, that's Lazarus, and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. The rich man said, Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen, even if someone rises from the dead. Now, I've got five things that I jotted down here that I think we can learn from this story in Luke chapter 16. First of all, do we see angels when we die? Second, is there a hell? Is there fire in hell? Can we move from hell to heaven after a person goes there? And number five, and this is important, our faith is in God's word, not in personal experience. So let's look at these. Number one, do we see angels when we die? Well, I want you to notice what happened right here when Lazarus died. Finally, the poor man died, that was Lazarus, and he was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. Now, does that necessarily mean that we are guaranteed that everybody who dies and goes to heaven will be carried by angels to heaven? Well, the answer to that question is, I don't know. I don't know of any place in the Bible where God guarantees that's going to happen. However, it did happen here with Lazarus. I also know that, and you probably have heard people talk about when they got ready to die, they saw angels. I do know, and this is just my opinion from what I know about the Bible, from knowing what the ministry of angels is, that they are guardians directed by God to help protect us, and that angels are messengers. I know that when Jesus ascended to heaven, there were angels at the tomb. There were angels at the ascension that talked to the disciples. I know that angels are always around. So my opinion is, I believe there is a really good possibility that when we get ready to leave this body and go to heaven, that there will be angels there that will escort us right into the presence of God. At least that's what I'm hoping. And this verse in Luke 16 seems to indicate that. But I want you to notice something interesting. The Bible says the rich man also died and he was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. Doesn't say anything about angels escorting him. So I don't know if he saw them or not, but they didn't escort him there. So that brings us to our next three questions. Is there a hell? Is there fire in hell? And if a person goes to hell, do they ever have a chance of getting out and going to heaven? Well, let's take a look at this. The Bible says the rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. This man died, and he went to a place of torment or punishment. This phrase that he went to the place of the dead has to do with the place of punishment, either hell, Sheol, Gehenna. They're all words that are used for this place, but it is a place of punishment. So here's the deal. This man is probably in the place we would refer to as hell, and it's a place of torment. But notice what else he says here. Then he shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in anguish in these flames." So is there fire in hell? Well, if this place is the place that we would call hell, then the Bible says he was in anguish in the flames. So there is fire there. Now, let me stop and mention a couple of things before we go on. One, the Bible says that the rich man was rich and Lazarus was poor. Please don't get confused. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was poor, and the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Lazarus went to heaven because he believed in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The rich man went to hell because he didn't, because the Bible indicates that's the only difference in heaven and hell, is our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing I want you to understand is that God never intended for hell to be for us. The Bible says that God created hell for the devil and his angels, the demons, so they would have a place of punishment. However, anyone who follows Satan's philosophy and listens to Satan and rejects God and rejects Jesus Christ and wants nothing to do with God and doesn't believe him, they will end up in the same place, because that's why Satan is there. He rejected God's authority. He didn't want anything to do. He wanted to be God himself. He didn't want God to be God. So I wanted to mention those two things just so you're not confused or think that God is this awful God that just wants everybody to go to hell, and he's doing everything he can to keep us out of heaven. He's done everything he can to make it as easy as possible to get into heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ. So now the last thing is, can we leave hell and go to heaven if we go there? Look at verse 26. He said, besides this, oh, by the way, verse 25, or verse 24, the rich man asked Lazarus to come over. He said, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." He wanted Lazarus to come down where he was. Well, look at what Abraham tells him. "Besides, there is a great chasm separating us." And look what he says. "No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." This seems to indicate that once you die, wherever you end up, heaven or hell, you're there for for the duration. There is no way to go from one place to the other. Now, this would seem to contradict this idea that there is a place of temporary punishment or a purgatory where people can go and work off their sins and finally get to heaven. Because according to Jesus in this account, that can't happen. So let's look at the last thing, and that is our faith is in God's word, not personal experience. Now, why do I say that? In verse 27, the rich man said, "Then please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. I've got five brothers. I want him to go warn them because I don't want them to end up in this place of torment." Now, notice what he says. Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have already warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the scriptures, the Bible. And he says that Moses and the prophets warned us. Notice in verse 25, Abraham calls this rich man son. I believe that's referring to the fact that he was a Jewish man. He was part of the Jews, as Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. And I believe that's why he called him son. And that's also why he referenced Moses and the prophets. Your brothers can read what they wrote. Your Jewish people, you have the Old Testament scriptures. Notice what he says, though. He didn't want the Bible. He didn't think the Bible would work. So he says this in verse 30. The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." The Bible won't work. They're not going to listen to the Bible. But you know what? If you send somebody back from the dead that they've had a near-death experience and they can tell from their experience that there really is a God, then they'll repent. Well, notice what Abraham said. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to what God said in the Bible, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. That's why I say our faith is in God's word, not in personal experience. Now, I mention that because I know there have been a lot of accounts of people who have died, had near-death experiences, and have come back, and they've told about it. One such incident is the movie and the book, Heaven is for Real. Some of you may know about it. The little boy who died on the operating table and went to heaven, and he had these experiences. He saw Jesus. He saw relatives. He saw his parents in the hospital and what they were doing, and God allowed him to come back to life. And he told his parents these things. Now, I've watched the movie. I have the book. I can't find anything about that little boy's experience that is contrary to the Bible. However, there's a whole lot about his experience that's not in the Bible. And so that doesn't mean it didn't happen. That doesn't mean it's not real. It just means that God chose not to tell us about it. My faith in my salvation, in the existence of God, in the existence of Jesus Christ, in his ability, Jesus's, to save me because of his death, burial, and resurrection. My faith is in all of those things because of what the Bible tells me, not because of someone's near-death experience. While their experience could very much be real. And it is a very interesting thing, and it provides quite a bit of expectation. However, we don't base our faith on somebody else's personal experience. We base our faith on God's word. And I hope that's what your faith is based upon. So, what happens when we die? Well, we learned a couple of things. Well, we're not really sure if we have a body or not. Heaven is a place so amazing that human words really can't describe it. It's very possible that when we die, we'll be escorted to heaven by angels. There is a place, an alternative to heaven, and it's called hell. And it is a place of torment, fire. And if you ever go there, there's no hope of getting out. So, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe what God says, and you never have to worry about that. And finally, our faith in what happens to us when we die is in God's word, not in personal experiences. Even though those personal experiences may be real and very interesting, they're still not the Bible. So with all that being said, I hope this is something that will be beneficial to you. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you will make an effort. If you can't join us on Thursday nights at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time for our online Bible study, I hope that you'll at least go to our website and BillCrockett.com and follow us there through our YouTube channel where these recordings will be. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day. God bless you.